My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. Most of you know that, but I'm glad to be joining with you today, wherever you're at, whatever campus you're at. We believe today that God has a word for you, so would you get ready to receive what God wants to speak to us today? The book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, I want to just go right to it today. We began last week there. This is our foundation scripture for this entire series. And we begin in verse 25, and then we'll jump down to verse 33 of Matthew chapter 6. Listen to what Jesus said as he's teaching. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will wear, what you will drink, all these things. He said, is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Now think about this for a minute. Jesus is talking to us and he says to us, look, all these things that we get stressed out about, life is more than that. Life is greater than that. And last week, we talked about what verse 33 says. And look what it says. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, how many of you have found out that there are a lot of things that are vying for your attention? Right? A lot of things are trying to be a priority in your life. A lot of things are trying to work their way and say, this is the most important thing. But I talked to you last week about how that the most vital thing in your life, the number one priority in your life, has to be God. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer, that God is the all in all. And for years I used to teach that God was first, your family second, your work was third, church was fourth, or vice versa in there. And we'd kind of list these things out. But the more that I've studied this, the more that I've looked at this, I really don't think I can say that anymore. Here's what I want to say. You've got God, and everything in your life is in God. All right? And so that there are aspects of time, and I may surprise some of you, that there may be some times when your family's not the next priority. It may be if you're in a business that you're having to spend a lot of time at business, that family situation may have to take a back seat for a little while. Now, I know I'm going to talk about family today, okay? So chill out. I'm getting those looks from you, okay? But understand that there are seasons in our life, and we have to flow with those seasons. And what I've found is since I began to understand that, my life seems to be more consistent. There seems to be a better flow in my life now that I'm able to say, okay, it's God, and then everything moves and lives in God. Now today we're going to talk about our family. And here's what I want you to understand about the family today. And that is, in the process of life, we've got to come to that place where we understand that family has kind of changed through the years. I want to say this first of all. God established the family. Right? God, it wasn't Hollywood's idea or the government's idea or whatever. God is the one who established the family. In fact, in just a few minutes, we're going to go to the book of Genesis, the 1st chapter, and we're going to be spending the majority of time this morning in Genesis chapter 1. But what I want to say to you is this, is that the family is the fundamental building block of all of human civilization. When you begin to understand that when family is stable, when the family is structured according to what God's Word tells us to structure it, then you find human civilization prospering and going forward. When we begin to tear it apart, it's when we begin to find ourselves in trouble. So we live in a nation right now that is being torn apart by a lot of things coming against the family. Over the past 30 to 40 years, we have found our nation especially has gone through some real destruction in the family. In fact, let's just sum it up this way. Let's just look at some television shows. In my day and age and growing up, we had a show called Leave It to... Oh, that's what Nick at Night will do for you, right? We had Leave It to Beaver, right? And you had June and Ward and the Beeve, and you had this whole thing, and in fact, June was always, she had on that dress, and it was starched, and she had on heels and pearls, and man, when Ward came home, it was, honey, I am home, and what happened? Anyway, come on, ladies, you got to help us out a little bit, all right? Well, I'm in trouble on that one already, am I not? And so that, that's then in about, what, the late 60s, early 70s, we went to the Brady Bunch. Remember the Brady Bunch? And now all of a sudden, we've got a blended family. We got his kids and her kids, and there's always something going on with the kids. And so we got all that. Then in the 80s and into the early 90s, we had the Cosby family. We had the first socially upwardly mobile African-American family where the husband was a doctor and the wife was a lawyer and the kids, and it was all the inner dynamics. Now, it was the family that everybody wanted to be. We didn't know what was happening behind the scenes, and I hate what was happening behind the scenes. But anyway, we didn't know all that. But we looked at when that, man, you know, if you could be a Cosby kid or you could be whatever, that even white kids are trying to be Cosby kids. Right? But now, again, television program, now we've got Modern Family. And it's a little bit of everything, isn't it? And that's the society that we're living in. That's where we are. I recently came across something that I thought was really, really important. And I normally don't read out of books, but I really felt like that there was something that I wanted to share with you today out of this book. And it's something that our president said. And I'll be honest with you, I have not agreed with a lot of the policies toward the family that the Obama administration has made. But what he said at a speech to Morehouse College is so vital that I agree with it 1,000% that I want to read it to you today. Here's what he said. He said, "I was raised by a heroic single mom, but I sure wish I had had a father who was not only present but involved. I didn't know my dad, and so my whole life I've tried to be for Michelle and my girls what my father was not for my mother and me. I want to break that cycle." And I stand in total agreement with our president. Our nation has lost the understanding of how important it is to have a father and a mother in the home. We've acted like it's not important. In fact, listen to what else he said. Here's what President Obama said. "We know the statistics that children who grow up without a father are 5 times more likely to live in poverty and commit crime. They're 9 times more likely to drop out of schools and 20 times more likely to end up in prison. They are more likely to have behavioral problems or run away from home or become teenage parents themselves. And the foundations of our community are weaker because of it." Now, I'm on a mission today. And I'm going to say stuff today that a lot of people wouldn't say. I'm going to talk to us about things today about the family that a lot of people don't want to talk about. But here's what I know about the family. God wants the family to function properly so that we can demonstrate the kingdom. All right? The reason that it's so important for the family to operate properly is because you and I have the privilege of demonstrating the kingdom to the rest of the world. And if we will get this right, we will find ourselves living the way God wants us to. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go in your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 is a passage that I'm going to take today and teach it probably in ways that you have never seen it taught or heard it taught. And if you have a literal, you know, Bible, if you don't have an iPad or something, you got the Bible in, which is fine, I want you to underline some words today. So I'm going to be in Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse 26, okay? It says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image." Would you underline that word image, okay? And it says, "Then in our likeness, so that they may rule," underline that word rule, "so they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. There's that image thing again. "In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." Look in verse 28. "God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful." Underline that word fruitful if you don't mind. "And increase." Underline that word. "In number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." And the rest of that chapter you can read at your own discretion. There are four things that I want to talk about today that I believe that God has established for the family to do. God has told us four things that we are to do, and they're all found in the very beginning of time when God created man and woman, and he put us together. The first thing that we are to do as a family is that as a family, we are to reflect God. We are to reflect God. In other words, the scripture says that he made us in his what? Image. You and I, as family, we are to look and to reflect God Almighty. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? Do we look like God? No, that's not what it's talking about. Here's what we need to understand. We are the only part of God's earthly creation with a spirit. Now, I'm already in trouble with the women, so I might as well get in trouble with all the animal lovers. Your dog, your cat, your parakeet, your gopher, I don't know what you got, your armadillo, does not have a spirit. When it dies, it goes back to the dust. When you are resurrected and go to heaven, it doesn't go. Sorry, didn't mean to burst your bubble. Because it doesn't have a spirit. We are the only part of God's creation that has a spirit that is eternal. God created us that way in his image. We were created as the crowning achievement of God's work upon this earth. God had created the world for 5 days. He had spoken things into existence, and he had brought about wonderful things. But on that sixth day, the scripture says he came down to earth. He formed man out of the dust of the earth. He breathed in the man. And man became a living soul. One translation of scripture says, and man became a speaking spirit. You and I have been given superior intellect. I mean, look at what mankind has been able to achieve just in the last 50 years. I can remember, I think some of you remember this, I can remember when open heart surgery, they would keep you in the hospital for a month, it felt like. Now they'll crack your chest open, they'll take your heart out, lay it down, they'll play around in there, put it back in, send you home the next day. Okay, not quite that bad, but almost, right? I mean, we have now been able to take instruments that are guided by computers and do surgery on people's bodies. We have now created things. Because why? Because God has given us a superior intellect. Yeah, I watch Planet of the Apes, but I'm telling you, the apes are not doing this. God's creation called humanity is what's doing this. And so we've been given this spiritual life that we are to nurture. If I'm created in the image of God, then I need to nurture this spiritual part of me, and I need to make sure that the spiritual aspect of my life is as important to me as the natural aspect of my life. And I want to say this to you today. Please understand, how many of you know that a lot of times when we get ready to buy something of clothing or whatever, that we want to know who the designer is, okay? We want to know if it's got a little horse on it, or if it's got, you know, if it's got a little C on that purse, or an LV on that purse, or an XYZ, I don't know, you know what? Come on, you know I'm telling the truth. Because it means something if we're carrying a Louis Vuitton, whatever. It means something if we're carrying a Chanel. It means something if we're, because who the designer was. Well, let me talk to you a minute. God designed you. God designed humanity. God made us, and because he made us, you and I need to understand that we have the right to walk about as children of God, and that as a family, we are called to reflect God upon this earth. The scripture says that the Godhead is made up of Father, Son, and what? Holy Spirit, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we see that in Scripture, how that there are times we look at the aspect of Father, and then you even see at Jesus' baptism that you've got the Father speaking, the Son standing there, and the Holy Spirit coming down as a dove. And yet the Scripture says all of these are one God, right? And so there's this dynamic of interrelationship that's happening even in the Godhead. Well, watch this. Upon earth, the Scripture says this about Adam and Eve. It said the two shall become one flesh. When Adam and Eve came together in that one flesh, and I'll talk more about that in a few minutes, when they came together in that one flesh, God accepted the family. God is the one who has created this thing called the family. So the first thing we are to do as a family is we are to reflect the image and the likeness of God. Number two is that according to Scripture, we are to create order. We are to have dominion. The word in Scripture there says to rule over the earth. What is the family for? The family is to bring dominion upon this earth. Now, let me say this to you. We are to operate in God's stead or in God's place. Now, I know that scares some people when I say that. All right? But watch this. The Scripture said after Jesus died and he was on the Mount of Ascension, the Word of God says he went up into the heavenlies. He sat down at the right hand of the Father, waiting until his enemies be made his footstool. But before he left, he looked at mankind and he said, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. And he said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you release on earth will be released in heaven. Could it be, I'll throw this out real quickly, could it be that the reason that our world is in such a mess is because we have released things upon this earth that we're blaming on God and God didn't do it. He gave it to us and we are the ones who have released a lot of things that are happening upon this earth. Has nothing to do with God because God said, I want you to rule in my stead. I want you to be the one who is in authority and who's in charge. Here's what the family is about. The family helps to maintain order. All right? The family that's functioning properly, when you study Scripture and you find out how the family is to operate, when the family operates properly, it operates, it brings order. In fact, if you'll study this, you'll find that civilization is always about bringing order. Think about that. Go back and study your history book. You will find that everywhere mankind goes, mankind brings order. Now, I know it evolves sometimes in a disorder, but the process is that man starts and brings order to everything he is. Man is the one who builds government. Government is to serve the family, not the family to serve government. The United States Constitution, I believe, is the greatest constitution that has ever been written for a civilization. I think you can study history. It doesn't matter if it's the Roman, the Greeks. It doesn't matter that you will find that the United States Constitution is the greatest constitution that has ever been written, and it's because that our founders understood that the government was by the people. And because of that, God was able to bless our nation, and he has said to mankind, and he has said to family, with families, you and I have been given the authority upon this earth to establish governments and to have those governments to rule and to reign in the affairs of mankind. What God said to us is this, and I'll try to break it down this way. God said to the family, here's what I want you to do. I want you to harness the power and the abilities of creation. All right? And so you study history and you find, that 100 years ago, men and women basically were still riding around on horses. But somebody said, I can take some gasoline and I can take some fire and I can harness that and I can make a combustible engine and I can build a car. We harnessed creation. To us in this part of the world, what we know is that you can harness a river and produce electricity. We have a series of dams in the Tennessee River, and I'm not cussing. We have a series of dams in the Tennessee River that harnesses the river, produces turbines that turn, that brings the lights that we enjoy. What has mankind done? Mankind has harnessed the power and the ability of creation. That's what God's called us to do as a family. That's what God has told us to do. And we do this all to bring glory and honor to the Lord God Almighty. When a creation happens, when something takes place, it is done so that we can. When we build a government, when we create things, it is done so that you and I can bring glory to God. You say, well, how do we bring glory to God? Well, let's talk about it for a minute. Can I do that with you? One more. Okay, thank you. We do that in several ways. One of those is we do that by valuing life. I don't know how many of you are upset by what we've been seeing on television, on a few select television stations. I notice the majority of media don't want to show it. But what is happening in clinics where they are literally taking what they refer to as a fetus, but when it's got arms and legs and a head and it can breathe on its own, it's not a fetus, ladies and gentlemen. It is a baby. It is a baby. It is a human being. And they are inducing abortion and bringing those babies whole so they can rip them apart and take their kidneys or take their lungs or whatever and transfer them and do some kind of stem cell or whatever kind of research that they're wanting to do. I want to tell you that is not the place of the government. That's not the place of medical science. God Almighty tells us we are all created in the image of God, and we as a family of creation ought to value human life from the moment of conception until death. Life is valuable. You say, Pastor, people are living way past their time. Let me tell you something. If we will do this while it's in the mother's womb, there will come a day when you'll be laying in a nursing home and they'll come in and say, well, your life is no longer valuable. Let's pull the plug on you. So if we lose that as a nation, can you tell I'm a little fiery about some of this? We've got to value life. Not only do we have to value, we have to value morality. Morality is important. You can't live like a dog and be a human being. Well, I just can't help it. No, animals can't help it. Animals live by instinct. Human beings have the authority over their being. We don't have to live like an animal. Well, I just can't help it, Pastor. You know, I know I got her pregnant, and I don't want to marry. Whoa, wait a minute. I told you I was going places today. Did you hear what I just read? If you got her pregnant, you are responsible. Just pretend I'm talking to you for a minute. You're responsible. Yeah, you know, the government. No, it's not the government's place. Gets quiet in this house. See, morality is still good. Morality will save a lot of problems. The statistic that I did not quote to you a little bit earlier says that because of divorce in America and unwed pregnancy in America, that we spend, the American taxpayer, listen to me, that American taxpayers each year spend $112 billion, that's with a B, dollars, because of divorce and unwed pregnancy in America. Think about what we could do with $112 billion a year if we would make sure that the family was valued again. Now don't tighten up on me, because I see what you do. Well, Pastor, you got to know I went through a divorce. And listen, I understand and God understands, but it doesn't mean that we need to bury our head in the sand and act like, well, there's nothing going on. No, there's a problem in America. And the problem is that we have not valued marriage and the family the way that we ought to. We have not valued morality the way that we ought to. We have chosen to live life the way that we want to instead of the way God says for us to. I got to hurry. Justice is also in that. Liberty is also in that. When we are bringing the authority of the kingdom of God to our family and to the nation, you find justice and liberty also operating in there. The third thing is this, is that we are to leave a godly heritage. It talks about being fruitful and increasing. We are to multiply. We are to leave a godly heritage. The purpose of a righteous family is to bless others. Amen. That's what it's about. It's to bless others. It's not just so we can have more. It's to bless others. The Bible says this. It says children are a heritage of the Lord. In other words, that children are what you leave behind upon this earth. The book of Malachi, chapter 2:15, says this. Has not one God made you? You belong to Him in body and spirit. And what does that one God seek? Godly offspring. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. Y'all didn't know that was in the Bible, did you? You thought the only thing that was in the book of Malachi was about tithing. But the Word of God, and I'm going to say something to you, and I'm going to do my best to keep it PG-13, but here we go. You ready? Here's what God says. I give you the privilege of sex. You give me godly children. See, where we have lost it in America, we think that marriage is about sex. Boy, I just got quiet. I can't believe he would say sex in church. I didn't create it. He did. And the reason that we are redefining everything about marriage is because we have taken away what the Word of God says marriage is about. Marriage is not about fulfilling your needs. According to Scripture, boy, it's quiet. Y'all are really nervous, aren't you? According to Scripture, God has created man and he has created woman with the ability to procreate. Now, I'm going to say something, and I hope your kids are in children's church. God doesn't mind you having fun with sex. But God is the creator of the family. And so what he has said is, I am giving you the privilege of sex so that you can produce godly heritage. So you and I are given the responsibility of pouring into our children. What should we be pouring into our children? Let me give it to you quickly. First of all, you need to be telling them about God. You need to be giving them the knowledge of God. When your children are little, teach them what God's Word says. Read to them the stories out of Scripture. Get a Bible book that they understand. Read to them. Pray with them. Now, don't pray this prayer. Don't pray, now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul will keep. And if I should die before I wake, no wonder the kid wants the light on all night long. Don't pray that prayer. But you are to give your children a knowledge of God. Not only are you to give your children a knowledge of God, you are also to give your children eternal values. You need to challenge them to go to college and be the best they can be and to achieve great and wonderful things in life. But you don't need to forsake those things that are eternal. You need to teach them that they need to love God and live for God, that they need to serve the Lord with all their heart. That's what this church is supposed to do. No, we've got them for one, maybe 2 hours if you're really holy and come on Wednesday night. We got them for 2 hours a week. You have to pour into them eternal values. We need to teach them character. We need to teach them how to act right and be right and to live right and to tell the truth and to be honest and honorable. I'll go a little bit further. This I say, not the Lord. It's okay to teach them to say yes, ma'am, and no, sir. It's just my opinion, but. Now, Pastor, that's a Southern thing. I know it, but it's a good Southern thing. All right? Most good thing. No, I'm not going there. All right? So we need to teach them character. Lastly, is we need to teach them self-discipline. If we'll teach them self-discipline, then the judge won't have to. If we'll teach them self-discipline, then the principal won't be calling you 3 times a week. It's up to us as parents and as those who are in their life to teach them that. The fourth thing is, he talks about being fruitful there. It's about relationship. All right? It's about our relationship in the family. We were made to thrive on love. I know Tina Turner said, what's love got to do with it? But she was married to Ike, and he beat the stew out of her. And I'm sure when he's hitting her, she's going, what's love got to do with this? I got that. Had to lighten it up for some of you. You were getting way, right? But love's got everything to do with it. Love is the greatest motivation on earth. Love will cause people to do things that nothing else will. Let me say this to you. Our families need to be a safe zone. Can I talk about that for a second? Our families need to be a safe place. Our families need to be a place of encouragement. Don't always belittle your kids or belittle each other. Have you ever been out to eat with another couple and they're constantly, it's quote-unquote humor, but they're constantly just tearing each other down? Don't you want to just get away and go take a shower because you feel so dirty? No, really. I mean, this is like, what's their problem, right? I mean, you spend how much money and how many years trying to get them, and then once you got them, instead of encouraging them, you're trying to tear them down. Maybe your marriage would be better. Oh, help me, Lord, let's move, okay? Now, the second thing is we need to have acceptance in our families. Listen, don't compare your kids to each other. And don't compare them to the neighbor's kids, for sure. I grew up all my life. I was a preacher's kid. Most of you know that. I was a preacher's kid. And I got compared to preacher's kids all my life. Listen, I was me, man, and I was a tough me, but I was me. Don't compare me to somebody else. Learn to accept your children the way that they are. Love them. Honor them. Push them. Challenge them, but accept them. We ought to respect them as well. We ought to respect our children. We ought to respect ourselves. We ought to respect husbands and wives, right? I mean, I listen to how some kids talk to their parents. Now, I come from old school. If I talk like that, I'd have been getting up off the floor. I mean, well, my dad died when I was 14, but when he was alive, I wouldn't have even, I mean, that wouldn't even come out of my mouth. I was dumb, but I wasn't that dumb. Security needs to be in the home. All of these things need to be part of our families. Let me quickly wrap it up. How do we live it out? Day in and day out, how do we live it out? Real quickly. Number one is make time for your family. Make time for your family. I think we still ought to eat meals together every once in a while. I don't think you have to do it 7 nights a week, but when you eat meals, don't eat it around the television. Go buy a table. Put some chairs around it. Don't put a TV in that room and make them all lay their phones on the counter when they come in. They can't text. They can't talk to somebody. Right? And don't just stare at your food and eat. Right? You need to have times of play. When your children are smaller, you need to be at ball games. You need to go to everything you can that your kids are involved in. I know sometimes work schedule and whatever, but you need to be there. Listen, take it from a man who now has lived a few years. You need to be there. It is important. It is vital. I'll give you one more thing you ought to do for your family. You ought to take a vacation. Not from them. I saw where some of your brains were going. You need to take a vacation with them. Man, we can't afford it. Well, don't buy the new iPhone and don't get the latest this and don't get the best that. And you don't have to stay at the St. Regis or the Ritz-Carlton. You can stay. I can remember some of our first vacation when we didn't have any money. We were poor. We couldn't even spell poor. We were just poor. All right? We stayed in some dumps. I remember at Panama City, we stayed in a dump one time. My kids were little, but they loved it. We were on the beach. We were having fun. It doesn't matter what the price of the place is. It is the memories that you are creating with your family that will live on. Second thing is, let me do this. Put marriage first in the family. You say, what do you mean? You just told me to put, you know, put marriage first in the family. Why? Because if you're not careful, 20, 25 years are going to pass, and the kids are going to leave home, we hope. The kids are going to leave home, and you're going to be looking at each other, and you're going to have nothing in common. And you're not even going to know who they are. They're just, you know, Bubba's mom. And Shania's dad. I mean, that's it. We don't even know who we are anymore. You need to make marriage first in your family. Thirdly, you need to honor God daily. Daily. Honor God. Pray over your meals. Let your kids see you reading the Word of God. Read the Word of God to them. Honor God. Pray. Let there be an atmosphere in your home of honoring God. And lastly, communicate. Communicate. Talk to one another. Act like you like each other. You say, I don't. Then come back the middle of October. We're going to start a whole series on marriage. We'll spend 5 weeks helping you. But all of these are vitally important. See, even the Godhead operates as a family. Here's what the Bible says. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God thought so much of you and your family that he sent his only begotten Son to die so that your life could be changed, so your family could be blessed. That's how much God thinks of this entity called the family.